good to see you all today. I think that shows a lot of confidence in the Lord, considering what is going on out there in the world right now. President Trump, as you know, has called for this to be a national day of prayer concerning the coronavirus that is spreading around and causing a lot of panic and a lot of panic buying. Have you been to the stores lately? Have you seen the shelves? I am blown away by this. I hope as Anchored Fellowship, as people that have been studying the scriptures, I hope you don't believe this is the end. I hope you don't think this is how it's all going to end. The coronavirus is going to wipe us all out, and there won't be anyone left for the rapture. I want to encourage you today with a word of scripture. And if you want to turn there, we're not going to have this up on the screen. This is Matthew chapter 24. Starting at verse 1, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. They wanted to show off the buildings of the temple. That's literally what they wanted to do. They wanted to show him, Lord, come check out the beauty of the temple, as if he didn't know, you know. Before he came to earth, he was watching it all from above. He knew about the buildings. He knew about the temple. He knew everything that had happened. But they're showing God in bodily form, the temple, and they're real impressed with that. And Jesus said to them in verse 2, Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. This is all going to get destroyed, Jesus says. Verse 3, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, did you notice what the disciples did? Jesus predicted the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem and the buildings there in Jerusalem, and they automatically assumed that meant the end of the world. So that's what they want to know. Well, when is this going to happen, Lord? When is the end of the world? Now, their question was wrong. This was not going to be the end of the world. This was just going to be the destruction of the Jewish temple, but that's the tendency of people. When something bad happens, we jump to conclusions, especially those that know just enough of prophecy to be dangerous. The coronavirus, this is it. This is the end. This is the apocalypse. It's going to turn people into zombies. We're all going to have to fight zombies, aim for the head. But Jesus answers their question. Verse 4, he said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. There's a good word for us. Don't be deceived. Don't be scared out of your mind. For many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. I'm going to come back to that statement. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences. There's another very important word for us this morning. What does pestilence mean? That means a pest of any size, shape, or form. That can be a pestilence of grasshoppers or rats. That can be a microscopic pestilence like coronavirus, COVID-19. So pestilences are going to happen, he says, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And that word, sorrows, is a very important word to this text. Paul picks up on it later in his writing and talks about it. That word for sorrows there literally means the birth pangs of a woman. The birth pains of a woman that is travailing in birth. Now, what Jesus has done here is he's given his disciples the precursors to the tribulation period. All those things that we just read through real quick, earthquakes, famines, pestilences, Jesus said all of these things are the precursors to the tribulation period. That's not the tribulation period. But what Jesus describes as we get near the end, as we approach the tribulation period, is this uptick in what appears to be an earth gone crazy, weather disturbances, sicknesses, pestilences, famines, false Christs that come on the scene proclaiming their Christ. The uptick in these things, just as the contractions of a woman intensify as that woman nears birth. That is exactly how Jesus is describing the period of time before the tribulation period. So, you know, when a woman is pregnant and she begins to have that first contraction, and no one's worried. Now, many years ago when I had my first kid, well, not me personally, but when I had my first kid, and that first intense contraction came, and we realized this is it, she's in labor. We got in the vehicle. I drove 100 miles down the road, honest to goodness. I drove 100 miles an hour down the road because I was afraid we wasn't going to get there in time, that the baby was going to come before we got there. Well, we got there, and the labor lasted 15 hours, so I didn't need to drive that fast. But what happens, as you know, those contractions, those birth pangs, those sorrows, as Jesus says here, they start out far apart, don't they? There's a contraction. It's not quite as intense. And then there's a period of calm. And then quite a while later, here comes that next contraction. And maybe it's a little more intense. And as those contractions roll on, taking that woman to childbirth, those contractions, what? They get closer together and they intensify in pain, so I'm told. That is exactly how Jesus described the precursors to the tribulation period at the end. He said, this is how it's going to happen. You're going to notice some things. There's going to be a famine in one part of the world. There's going to be some strange earthquakes that happen in swells and start to get you nervous, and then they stop. Then a little while later, a sickness, H1N1. The swine flu, bird flu. And then another passing of time, and then something else, right? And as we get closer to the tribulation period, those time gaps between those signs that Jesus gave us in Matthew 24, those time gaps get shorter and shorter as the contractions get closer and closer together and intensify. Why does Jesus describe this as childbirth? What's being birthed? The second coming is being birthed. And it's perfect that he explains that, because how did the first coming of Jesus happen? He was literally birthed through a woman, Mary. She had to literally give those contractions and go through the pain of childbirth to birth him. And he describes the end as the same way. The world is going to go through tribulation before the second coming of Christ is birthed on the earth. So those contractions continue to pick up speed and steam. They intensify as we get near to the tribulation period. We know that we're leaving before the tribulation period officially begins, before that first seal is cracked open. We know we're gone. What we don't know is how intense and how close together the birth pains that we experience on this earth are going to be before the rapture. As we well documented in our studies, there's nothing that has to happen. The rapture could take place right now, and then those birth pangs really kick into motion and really get going. And then the tribulation and the second coming are birthed through that. But it could also be that we as a church experience quite a few of those pangs of birth as the earth is trying to give birth to the second coming of Christ. It could be that we experience some pretty intense stuff, but we know that Jesus has promised us we're only going to go through the precursors to the tribulation period. And what did he tell us about this? Yeah, there's going to be pestilences, that's plural, Coronavirus isn't the end. You know, if we're freaking out now over the coronavirus, man, for your sake, I hope the Lord comes quickly and things don't get too much worse, but they could. So there are going to be more pestilences. There are going to be swells of earthquakes that make you nervous. I'm betting the day comes where we have a good one in Pennsylvania. It's going to happen. Earthquakes in various places, unexpected places. Now, we know about the ring of fire up there from the Seattle area all the way up around the banana belt of Alaska, the ring of fire that's constantly having those earthquakes. We're not surprised by that. Hundreds a day they have up there. That was normal life in Alaska. But we don't expect them in places like Pennsylvania. But those things are going to begin to happen. We're going to get very uncomfortable on earth if we're here for much of these precursors to the tribulation period. It's going to feel like the earth itself is groaning for that day. And that is exactly how the scriptures record it. It's the earth giving birth to the plan of God. It's the earth getting unsettled. No, it is not climate change. And if you're the kind of person that would believe that if you just let your politicians tax you more, that they'll fix climate change that we caused, you're a little gullible. I'm sorry. I mean, there is climate change happening, but it has always happened. It's happened from the beginning of time. Warm patterns, cold patterns, warm patterns, cold patterns, back and forth, back and forth. So we understand that this is something that the world is going through and moving us to. And all we're going to experience is the precursors to the tribulation. And in light of that, Jesus said what? See that you be not troubled. That sounds like a promise to me. It sounds like a promise to me that you're going to be okay. And that I'm going to be okay. So that's what I believe. I take God at his word. I believe I am perfectly safe. Now, if I get the coronavirus and have to miss next Sunday, don't point your finger at me and say, aha, he was wrong. No, I'm not going to care if I get the coronavirus. I'll be back on my feet in no time. If I'm not, I just want you to know that the odds of the coronavirus killing me are so slim that if I die from the coronavirus, I want you to know I'm fully convinced that it must have been my time to go. And it's the same with you. If everyone in the world got the coronavirus right now, every single person in the world, only 2% of us would die, which means not even all the elderly, not even all the immunochallenged, immune disease challenged, not even all of them would die from this. All right, this is getting blown out of proportion. I don't know what it's going to turn into. Could it turn into a pandemic? Yes, it could also just be a dem panic and not a pandemic. We don't know what's going to happen. Here's what I do know. See that you be not troubled. I want the church globally, and more specifically this church locally, to be leading the charge in confidence out there. I'm not telling you to be dumb. If you want to wash your hands more, that's fine. If you want to go out and stock up on toilet paper, that's your deal. That's your business. I'm not going to criticize you for that. There is some wisdom in planning. I admit I enjoy some of the doomsday prepping. Not because I think I'm going to need it. I just enjoy it. You know, it's a personal fun thing for me to have some stuff set aside in case I need it. But I'm not going to criticize you for the measures that you take over this potential pandemic in the world. But what I want to do is encourage you to have all the confidence in the world that the Lord has given us good word that this is not the end. This is not the end, and that there's no reason for us to be troubled. He is going to take us out of here before things get too bad. So what we can do is we can watch these signs in Matthew chapter 24. And as we see them intensify and get closer together, as we see those contractions starting to point to imminent birth, then we can know all the more so we're getting extremely close. How far apart are those contractions right now? Well, I think the infographic on the internet said that about every 2 years, there's a major pestilence, like H1N1, or avian flu, or coronavirus, right? So right now we're about 2 years apart in those contractions. What does that mean? I have no idea. I don't know how close together they're going to get. Things are going to get worse and intensify. That's all I know. But as things intensify, our excitement for the return of Christ in the rapture should intensify. Our confidence in him should intensify as we see prophecy proving out that his words are true. That's one of the reasons that Jesus said he gave us prophecy, right? So that when we see these things come to pass, we might believe. That's it. When you see prophecy being fulfilled, even when it's scary prophecies, that shouldn't make you more frightened. That should make you more confident in the one that gave you the prophecy and the promise through the prophecy. So I hope that's where your confidence is today. All of that I said just to get us to a place where we can now pray about this situation as our president has asked us to. And I'm so glad that he has. If you think I'm taking this lightly up here, I'm not. I'm not taking this whole thing lightly. Honestly, I'm kind of perturbed that I went to the store last night and couldn't find some of the things I needed. So it became serious to me last night. I'm not taking it lightly, but I'm taking the Lord really seriously. I believe every one of you are going to be okay. All right? So we're going to pray about this. We're going to put this in the Lord's hands and trust that this is going to pass quickly. That's what I think is going to happen. I think this is going to pass real quickly. And we're all just going to be wondering how this thing got blown so far out of proportion. I think it's going to pass real quickly. I could be wrong. So if I'm wrong on that, feel free to point your finger at me and say, ha. I don't know for sure, but I think it's going to pass quickly. You know it'll help that to pass quickly? Prayer. And if we got a nation of churchgoers, people that believe in the Lord, praying about this situation this Sunday morning, then I believe the Lord's going to respond. Amen. You know, the Lord will lift stuff off of an entire nation if there's enough of the remnant in that nation to be praying and to be seeking the Lord in that situation. So that's what we're going to do. Would you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Lord, thank you for the great confidence that we can take away from the scriptures. I am so glad that nothing takes you by surprise, that you have this already all figured out. You know everything that's going to hit and you know when it's going to hit. You know the impact that it's going to have on us personally, locally, and globally. You know all of these things. And yet never in your word have you given us a word of panic. Never in your word have you told us to fear for our lives, but you constantly give us these words of promise that no matter what we see, no matter how bad we think it is, we should not let our hearts be troubled. Because you've got us, Lord. You're behind us. You're helping us. And no matter what hits, you'll pull us through all of it. We're so grateful for that. We thank you for a president that would make this declaration and call this a day of prayer. Just to have a president that would call the nation to prayer is such a blessing. We thank you for that. And Lord, it's my desire that believers all over the place today are doing just that, praying in sincerity, that you will cause this to pass quickly, that you will protect us, that you will keep us safe, that you will keep us healthy and well. And Lord, that at the end of it, we'll be able to praise you and thank you for yet another thing that you've brought us through. Give our anchored folks here some great confidence in their hearts today that you have this all under control, that everything bows the knee to you, including pestilence. You got this, Lord, and we trust you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I want to encourage you to continue to be praying about that throughout this day. Take some more time on your own and pray. Lord, lift this thing. Let's see what the power of prayer can do.